Hello, I'm here to make a complaint. There's too much noise. I'd like to see it gotten rid of, please. No, cancel it. Cancel it now. Is that done? Can you confirm that with your supervisor? Excellent. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Welcome, everybody, to the Noise Cancelling Podcast, the tech show where we try and work out if we actually know anything about anything. But before that, let's meet the team.
I'm Shariel Smith, Editor-in-Chief of Laptop Mag.
I'm Gareth Beavis, Editor-in-Chief of TechRadar.com.
I'm Kimberly Gedeon, Staff Writer at Laptop Mag.
And I'm Mark Wilson, Cameras Editor on TechRadar.
This is a good 50-50, I like it. If there's some sort of, like, Jets and Sharks rumble, I feel like we'd have a good chance.
Cool, boy.
I mean, I've been listening to all of your podcasts, like the past 7 or 8 episodes, and there's been a little bit of too much Brit overload. So I'm glad that we've got some American, you know, taking over to make it a little bit more equal.
Got that black girl magic!
I've got a few thoughts about that, Kimberly. Number one, we have Cherie, which is at least 4 times as much as we are Brit, her American name.
Yeah.
Secondly, we would love to have more people from America on, but scheduling at this time is very difficult. And thirdly, I've just realised we'd lose quite handily in a fight between you two against us. So I will apologise for that already. Okay, fine.
I'm actually very well acquainted with the Brits because I've lived in England for about a year, in Liverpool. So Ooh. It's been a lot of fun, you know, learning all your phrases like bits and bulbs and mawmy and skint, which I'm very well. Skint, Cherie, basically means broke. And I'm very acquainted with that word.
Aren't we all?
So Kimberly, what were you doing in England other than enjoying one of the greatest countries?
Oh, I was studying journalism. I was studying international journalism. And I had a lot of fun along the way. At the time, Ed Miliband was running against David Cameron. So that was a really fun, interesting moment. But yeah, and now I'm at Laptop Mag sitting next to phenomenal TechRadar people, managing editor Matt Swider with his obnoxious 6-monitor setup on his desk.
I love that setup so much. I'm so jelly.
I'm secretly jealous of, right?
It's so jelly.
Yeah, and David Lum, mobile editor, U.S. mobile editor that I bother from time to time. I think he has AirPods in all the time, noise-canceling AirPods in, but I particularly love to bother him particularly. I'm just like, David. He's like, he pretends he doesn't hear me and I know it.
did these guys pay you just to drop their names into today's podcast? They're like, hey, talk us up, we'll give you $5.
No, they didn't. It's just I talked to them so much that I had to shout them out. And you guys are TechRadar people, so I thought you'd appreciate it.
We are.
Or maybe not.
No, we love Matt and David and obviously Bill Thomas over there as well. Matt Swider also loves Englishisms. He first watched a football/soccer game and he couldn't get enough of the equaliser being a goal that you score to settle the tie. So it goes from one tie winning to drawing. The equaliser is one of his things that he loves more than anything. So I'm glad that that's pervading across. Let's meet Mark. Mark, how are you? Welcome to the podcast.
Very good, thank you. Yes, how are you?
Good, thanks. That was much more sedate. who do you sit near and annoy every day? Anyone?
Well, right now, no one, because I haven't sat near anyone for, I think it's 4 weeks and counting.
Yeah, true.
So
actually, yeah.
I find it's now equalises the annoyance between the whole team, really. So
yeah. Cool, that's true. Thank you for coming on. Mark is obviously our cameras editor for TechRadar. I think we should jump right in with the big news this week. Well, one of many big news is, Mark, you're here because the EOS R5, the lovely camera, has unveiled itself in some way.
Yeah, so the EOS R5 is basically one of the most exciting cameras for quite a few years. It's basically like Canon's sort of gone into Hulk mode and just decided, right, we're just going to make the absolute best camera we can and with very few compromises. So usually in the last few cameras, there's been some compromise in some way, particularly on the video side, but in this camera, it doesn't seem to be many at all. It's it shoots 8K video at 30 frames a second. It shoots 4K video at 120 frames a second, which is great for slow-mo, and that's a first again for a consumer camera. So yeah, it's a load of firsts. We don't yet know how much it's going to cost, but it's going to be great value because it's basically a cinema camera and a pro sports camera all in one, really.
Why does that make it? Why would that make it good value?
Because it has many of the specs that you would find in a cinema camera, which could be several thousand pounds, possibly even over 10,000. So,
several thousand dollars for our American listeners there.
Sorry, yes, I should do the conversion in real time.
Helping out for you.
Well, no matter what, it sounds like it's going to cost an arm, leg, a firstborn babe, maybe a soul.
Yeah, probably all of our arms and legs combined. It's the rumors are around $3,500 stroke pounds. Sounds a lot, but for what you get, it's really exciting. If you're an independent filmmaker or a YouTuber, I could see, yeah, you should be very excited about this camera.
Did you say that it features full width 8K raw recording for 30 seconds or 30 frames per second?
That's right, yeah. So it shoots 8K raw, whole of the sensor. I mean, that's not likely a mode that a lot of people use a lot of time, because the amount of data and the file size you'll get out of that will be huge. But it's kind of future-proofing the camera as well. And I was talking to a director, and he said in 8K, one of the benefits is that you can punch out a 4K frame from that and get a couple of different angles from the same shot, which is, yeah, pretty handy.
I mean, you said it's one of the most exciting cameras to come in years. I feel like your excitement levels aren't high enough.
Should I have some party poppers going around? Yeah.
I feel like you're not helping the British stereotype right now. Sort of the understated level it is coming out right through.
This is me on maximum excitement.
So, what about the average consumer? Would they get excited about this camera? Someone who's just like, I really like a really good camera. Is that same way? Sort of when people look at things like the iPad Pro that cost loads of money and it's got like a terabyte of storage with cellular data, and no one really needs that for the average consumer, but people still go for it because they're like, I just want to spend a lot of money on a good thing. Would that camera fall into that category?
It would, yeah. I mean, there are rumours of a Canon EOS R6, which hasn't been announced at all yet, but that potentially is the affordable version of this camera for most people. It's still a rumour at the moment, but yeah, really the excitement about this camera is that it shows what's on the way, really, and what's going to trickle down a bit as well to more affordable cameras. So that's why it's exciting, more than the fact that most people would probably go and buy it. Because
Mark, would you purchase this?
I, not to put down Future Publishing, but I'm not sure I'm paid enough to be able to afford it. I would struggle to justify it because I'm not really a filmmaker. I prefer the old-fashioned photos, so it's a bit overkill for me. But if I shot more film, I would I would definitely consider it.
I like the fact you struggled on one word there, and the word was photos. That's our camera editor, everyone. Yeah.
I've always struggled with that word. Yeah.
this has been your redemption, hasn't it? You're like, I'm going to become a camera editor just to prove that I can overcome it. Kimberly, you sounds like, you know, you said things like 8K and raw in a sentence and didn't sound like you were just making it up like I do. You sound like you know what you're talking about here.
I actually don't, but I have read about it and I have seen I have seen all the excitement about it. But I'm not sure that people would even need 8K raw recording at this point. From what I've heard and what I've read, it doesn't even record for that long, for maybe like 5 minutes. Is that accurate, Mark?
Yeah, they haven't announced that yet. But yeah, the rumor is maybe 5 minutes for 8K. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of inevitable. It's quite a small camera, so.
If you use it to make VR documentaries, that could be a really, really good thing.
Yeah, potentially, yeah. I mean, so it's not really, it doesn't really offer a 360 sort of view, but certainly for high-end kind of documentaries or YouTubing, yeah, it could be amazing for that.
Kimberly, you're a fan of robots, right? Or friends? Or gaming?
Oh,
which one is it?
Very much more of robots, because this is an amazing story. I mean, how amazing would it be if you could just have someone to commiserate with when you just can't get it right when it comes to gaming? Like, you start throwing a tantrum, stomping your feet, pounding your fists, and then someone just starts losing their mind along with you and totally feeling your pain. Well, listen to this. Sony PlayStation just filed a patent for a robot friend that can watch your gameplay and commiserate with you. So if you screw up, maybe this robot can just start Hulk smashing things like, grr, how dare this game not recognize your greatness. But on the plus side, this robot can also celebrate with you when you succeed and express happiness with your gaming performance. And according to the patent, this robot friend will have a camera, a biological sensor, a motion sensor, and a microphone that it will use to sort of deduce whether you're feeling sad or happy by analyzing your face your body language, your words, and more. So it can detect your joy, your anger, love, and surprise while you're gaming. What do you guys think about this?
I feel like you're just describing Cherie.
I do not want a rage quitting robot. Like, I personally do not rage quit, but for my friends that do, I don't want a robot that would simulate that behavior with me. I get, like, the mouthless thing bothers me. It kind of reminds me of I have no mouth, and I want to scream and I have no mouth. I just totally jacked up that title.
That's the thing, Cherie. I mean, that's what creeps me out about this thing. So Cherie's referring to the sketch of this gaming companion on this patent. If I could describe it, it looks like a cloud with like googly eyes, but it's creepier, kind of like Cousin It from the Addams Family, or like a mouthless Furby. And it's this robot friend is supposed to be able to move and talk, but if it has no mouth, how can it talk? So that just adds to, like, creep factor, the whole new level. So,
wait, it's supposed to move to... Oh, no, 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 no,
yes,
no, no,
it's
no,
supposed
no, no.
to move and talk.
No, 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 so, no, no, I mean, no, 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 no. Like, I... like, as excited as I am about robotics, and I am, because I like to consider myself a futurist of sorts, I also am wary of robots because we need to make sure that the AI and everything is tightened down. My favorite saying is, it's all good till a sex bot chokes out a senator. I just, like, if it's like a Furby, I can kind of deal with that. But if it's a robot that can actually move and, like, it's picking up off of your biological responses and, like a rage quit. I've seen people break controllers rage quitting. I can only imagine what a robot friend could do in the same situation.
I mean, it'd be a really good move from Sony if it, like, it broke your controller every time something bad happened and they're like, well, you gotta buy another one. just high five me and you can get on with it. There we go. I mean, it does sound crazy.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit more concerned about the robot. I mean, just imagine what rage gamers would do to that robot. They're like, great, now I have something to punch when I lose. You know, I mean, I just kind of feel bad for the robots themselves. Or, I mean, Cherie might be right. I think you're kind of referring to, like, you know, robots kind of like, imagine like fuzzy robots just learn from Call of Duty and just get guns and start rising up.
Yeah, no, so, thank you. No, thank you.
I mean, you never know. I mean, no, sentient no. beings and just like learning to from human behavior from... It's a little creepy. It's a little creepy.
I feel like just I don't know what the legalities of this are, but just in case, Sony, we are not in any way claiming you've patented a robot that can shoot people. that is just the conjecture of the episode's contestants here today. Contestants isn't the word, sorry. Cherie, obviously you're editor of Laptop Mag. That's a good thing. There are Surface Pro 8 rumors. They're about laptops. Look at that, coalescing as two topics.
Ooh, nice segue. It's about that time for the Surface Pro 8 rumors. Like, Microsoft releases a new one about every one and a half years. So we're at that delta where we need to start talking about this. And the rumors are flying. So while we are also keeping a lookout for the Surface Neo and the Surface Duo, the two dual screen devices that were supposed to come out this year, but, you know, we'll see how that's going to rock with the current situation. The Surface Pro 8 seems to be on the works. Like, it looks like people are estimating that it's going to be priced at $800, which is around where it was for the Pro 7. We're seeing a lot of funky patents with solar paneling built into the kickstand, and I love rumor hubs. I love rumor stories because you just see the wildest designs, the wildest ideas, and what we get is so far from those ideas, but it's hilarious to say the least. So right now we're looking at maybe a 12.3 inch display. Maybe it'll go for 13 inches, 2880 by 1920 resolution. Like, everything is up in the air. One thing we can expect, that it'll probably be running on Intel's Ice Lake. I doubt it's going to be a Comet Lake processor.
Yeah, I was just wondering, with the solar panel idea, presumably that gives you about sort of 4 seconds of extra battery life. I don't know. It's it seems a bit optimistic on from the size of the from the pictures. But
solar panels can do some good stuff now. I mean, like, even they're trying to bake them into smartwatches now to give you that little bit extra juice. But yeah, like you said, Mark, it doesn't give you a huge amount. I think it's more gimmicky than anything else, and it'll cost that little bit extra. So yeah, I mean, it's one of those things, though, you would love to start seeing it, because once it starts rolling, you know, solar panels start getting into more and more things and can actually start being useful and efficient and all that kind of stuff, then actually could really help loads of devices get longer lasting battery, because, you know, there's enough ambient light to charge solar panels all over the place as long as they're efficient enough. So fingers crossed for that one. Right, we are running super low on time because we are having such a lovely chat. But very quickly, I wanted to touch on a rumour that there's going to be some new AirPods next month. I'll go through this very quickly. We don't know a lot. Apparently, according to John Prosser from Front Page Tech, has said that they might be launching alongside MacBook Pro next month. What we know about these is very little. Whether they'll either be a refresh of the AirPods that, you know, they're not the AirPods Pro, the ones that just sort of dangle on your ears and look like toothbrush heads from the previous days, or whether they'll be just like the AirPods Pro without noise cancelling. So very quickly, I want a two-line thought from each of you. Mark, how do you feel about this?
I quite like the idea of it, because I've lost my AirPods and I haven't seen them for about 2 months now. So
2 lines done. Thank you.
But, what happened to your Find My AirPods?
Well, they're in my flat somewhere. That's all I know from Find My AirPods. But where that is, it can't specify. Doesn't that's yeah. the downside. Yeah.
It says play sound, and they can't make them play a sound because they don't have any emitting capabilities of the volumes that you'd need, which is crazy. Like, it's ridiculous. Cherie, your thoughts, quick.
I mean, you know, more AirPods, more people are going to buy them again. You know, we're just going to re-up on a yearly schedule. You're going to fork out more and more money. It remains to be seen if this is going to be an integral change like we saw with the AirPods Pro, or if this is just going to be like just an update.
And finally, Kimberly.
Well, I've never used AirPods myself, never owned one. I'm just a poor wired person over here. But I will say that I'm not a fan of AirPods, the design. It kind of looks like a white stem sprouting from people's ears. So if anything, if I'm in the market for some AirPods or something AirPods-like, I'm going to be more focused on the Samsung Galaxy Buds look. So that's my take on that.
Great. I feel like that we did that really efficiently, and it makes me feel like we should have done the other ones faster. I'm not very good at this hosting thing. Thanks very much. Right, I think we need to go into the labs. But before that, let's have a very small break. Okay, we're back, and we are going into the labs. Cherie, you know what to do.
Come with me and you'll see a world of technical imagination. Come to our labs, see our laptops and our tablets.
Wow.
I've just made a note to check with the producer on what counts as copyright infringement, because that was very good. So
well, it's a remix, so
yeah. Oh, true, yeah, yeah. It's an homage. Yeah, it's just it's free use. So this week, I'm cock-a-hoop, to use an English phrase, about the fact that for once an embargo has landed at exactly the right time. So we've literally just finished reviewing the iPhone SE 2020, the new one from Apple. The embargo lifted just an hour before we started recording this podcast, which makes a change. Usually it's about half an hour afterwards and we can't do anything further, so that's really nice. But yeah, I've had this phone in my hands for a few days now. And I've got to say, it's pretty good. Even though, I say most people, unless you haven't touched an iPhone since 2013, most people will be very familiar with this design. It is basically the iPhone 6, 6S, 7, 8, with a 4.7-inch screen, the same kind of thing that you've expect loads of times. The display technology is the same, the design's the same, it's got no headphone jack, blah, blah. But what it does have is Apple's new A13 chipset inside, which does make a huge difference. It makes the camera better, it makes this phone run smoother. It can almost go toe-to-toe with the iPhone 11 Pro range. And the only downside to that is the battery life isn't as good as we hoped it would be. You know, with a better processor inside, we thought that battery life might last more than a day, but it's kind of gone back to old iPhone levels. But the price is the main thing. It's $399 or £429, which for the 64 gig version, which, you know, considering what you get, is pretty good. If any of you guys read the review yet, I'd be surprised if you have, because it's only been up an hour. But if you have, well done and for doing your revision.
No, not yet, actually. But yeah, I'm interested by the camera, because that's obviously...
Surprise.
I thought I'd shock you all with that, yeah, that interest. But yeah, I mean, does it compare to the 11 Pro, or is it more kind of 8 Plus level?
No, this is interesting, right? So the hardware on it, I mean, Apple has been using the same sensor in its iPhones for since the iPhone 8, to be honest, I think. So it's got a 12 megapixel sensor. It's f1.8 aperture, so it's fairly good in low light. It's got a six something lens. What's it called? Like six item lens. It's better words than that. But anyway, so the same. It's basically been using the same kind of thing for a few years now. And that's the same sensor that's used in the iPhone 11, 11 Pro as one of them of the three. But compared to the iPhone 8, it is miles better. I was trying it next to an iPhone 8 Plus, which is arguably the same kind of tech as the 8. And it's so much better. And that's just down to the A13 processor, just making it look better. Basically, it can computationally work out the scenes. It can brighten things. It can sharpen things. It can imbue things with color. It can lighten lips over noses. You know, there's lots of things that it can do that genuinely do make a difference. Now, if you compare it to the 11 Pro Max, for instance, which is genuinely the best phone Apple makes, you know, not talking about price, but just in terms of the full feature set, it doesn't quite stand up in things like color reproduction or depth of field or just the overall quality of Snap. But it is really close considering how much less money it is. You know, it's about a third of the price. And honestly, there are times when you can't tell the difference massively. There are times when you really can, like a big wide vista with lots of different colors and lots of different contrast. You will start to see the differences. In low light, you can tell that the iPhone 11 Pro Max is a better phone for photography. But like I said, compared to the iPhone 8, it is a lot, lot better. And I'm really impressed with what Apple's managed to do with just adding a new chipset in.
This iPhone SE couldn't have come at a better time because I'm actually in the market for a new phone. I actually went to Madrid last fall and I got pickpocketed. My phone got pickpocketed. So ever since, I haven't bought a new phone. I've been just using a very, very old phone. And I actually had my eye on that Apple 11 Pro, but I just couldn't get myself to shell out whatever. It was $900, $1,000. It was just too much. And just seeing that there is an iPhone SE for $399, I'm kind of on board. And it has the A13 Bionic chip that is on the iPhone 11. So that's really, really attractive. But I'm also kind of waiting to see what Google Pixel will do. I hear they might be coming up with a 4A. So I don't know. I have my eye on it. So I'm very excited about it.
I think the interesting thing is like who this is aimed at. And while it is really impressive and for the price, it's really good. The way you talk right then, I'm sort of thinking, well, why not go for the iPhone 11? It's only $300 more. I say only, but it's $300 more. And you do get, you know, better camera, bigger screen. You know, it's got I do find that the design is a little bit dated. I have really got used to Face ID as a better way of entering the phone. Like Touch ID still feels a bit weird for me sometimes. And it's also strange how Apple hasn't brought like the kind of the swish upwards motion that you have with the new iPhones to get into the phone to this one as well. You still have to click the button. But yeah, so if you're thinking that the iPhone 11 Pro and it is just too much money, the iPhone 11 is a great device. I feel like the SE is for people who genuinely don't care about having a phone, but they would like a new iPhone and they don't want to spend too much money. It's what the first SE was in 2016. And I know a lot of people who still have that phone and it's got a cracked screen and it's struggling now all over the place. And it's perfect for them because they don't care about like how much frames per second it can pull through compared to another phone. They just want like a new iPhone that will last them 3 or 4 years, which is very likely will, for not much money. And I think that's a really good target market Apple's gone for. Cherie, I mean, it's not big enough for you, right? I mean, that's the key problem.
You know what I was going to say. You know I hate small phones. I can't do it. I love phablets. I love huge phones. As long as my freakishly long thumb can reach everything, it's not a problem for me. My hands would eclipse that little phone, and it just doesn't have enough bells and whistles for me. I just have a thing about it. I'm that person that will sit there and spend that ridiculous $1,000 on all those fancy features, which for the most part, I will say that when I do indulge like that, I do use a majority of the features.
In terms of, well, that's obviously what we've reviewed this week, but Cherie, in your labs, you've had something from MSI, right?
Yes, I am in the process of reviewing the GS66 Stealth, a laptop that we first saw at CES 2020. I'm really excited about this laptop because it is one of the first to have a 99.9 watt hour battery, which is the largest battery that the TSA will allow to fly. So it's kicking ass, taking names, you know, fresh out of bubblegum, all those sayings. So far, battery life is about 636. So that's really, really good for a gaming laptop. It's not as good as the Asus Zephyrus G14, which had 11 some odd hours. But I do want to rerun the battery test. I'm wondering if there's some parameters that maybe we ran it on the wrong setting. So I am going to run it again. So stay tuned for that. It's also one of the first laptops to hit our lab that has NVIDIA's new super chip GPU. So this is actually running a super 2080 Max Q chip. So it is really doing well on the gaming front. We're seeing really good frame rates. For example, we're seeing 86 on Far Cry New Dawn, which is just topping the competition. Borderlands 3, 60 frames. Red Dead Redemption at 1080 is 49 frames. So we're seeing really good preliminary results. I'm excited to get through this review. And all of that is in this laptop that weighs only 4.6 pounds, I think. So it's really slim, really sleek. It's a departure for people that know MSI for like maybe the Titan series, which is its big, bulky behemoth Betty, which it's dear to my heart because they just kitchen sink the hell out of the Titan series. So anything that you could think to put in it, hey, you want 4K? You got it. Hey, you want dual SSDs and RAID 0? Here you go. You want like anything? Like, I love a good Titan, but the Stealth series is really good for people that want to game on the go, still want to take the laptop into the office, still have decent battery life, and have that gaming experience. So I am really gung-ho on the Stealth right now. The review should go live by the time this podcast goes live, so stay tuned.
I don't know, Sheree. I'm kind of disappointed by the battery life there. I mean, with a 99.9 watt-hour battery, and, you know, this being like a big draw or a big selling point. And also comparing that to the Asus ROG Zephyrus G14, and, you know, they really kind of set the standard there for like longer lasting gaming laptops. So I was hoping for a little more, maybe 7, 8, maybe 9.
Yeah, like I said, I'm going to rerun it just on the strength because there was a new driver released before when we originally ran the test. So I'm going to run it again to see if that makes any difference and to make sure that we didn't have any settings ticked off, because one setting can just blow our battery test. So stay tuned for that. I am going to rerun the battery test.
And Kimberly, have you been checking out anything this week, or is time quite sparse for that?
Yeah, I mean, with the coronavirus stuff, you know, there's not a lot coming in through the pipeline, but I am reviewing a laptop currently, but it is under embargo, so I can't talk about it. So maybe next time.
True, true, true. Well, we have actually had a lot of embargoes at the moment. The other thing that I got was, well, I say it sounds small, but the iPad Pro 2020, which we talked about a few podcasts ago, it was launched with the Magic Keyboard, but the Magic Keyboard never actually turned up. And it finally has, which is actually quite exciting. I didn't think it would be, but obviously, you know, if you've got an iPad Pro and you want to use typing, etc. on it, the Smart Folio keyboard has got textured sort of fabric keys. The travel isn't as good. You can get used to it, but it's not quite there. But the iPad trackpad support and stuff like that, and having to use a separate mouse just didn't feel as good. So what the new Magic Keyboard has got, it's basically like brings a MacBook feel to things. You know, the keys have got decent travel, they're very clickable. The trackpad is now embedded at the bottom of it, and it's got this really nice hinge as well that actually allows you to position the angle of the iPad to where you want to go. That's actually really massive, because the two settings of like looking towards you and being quite upright were never exactly right. If you wanted to FaceTime somebody or have a video call, it was really difficult for that. And the hinge actually makes a massive difference. The keyboard feels like a proper keyboard now, which is really good. However, the trackpad is rubbish. Like, it's really confusing. So it's really good in the sense of, you know, you can swipe up and down and move around all the gestures. That's great. And then you click on something, it doesn't do anything. You're like, wait, why is it not doing? And then you realize that it's got a variety of different clicks. So like on some apps, you have to sort of hold click and half.
And
I can't work out if it's just not being optimized for it, or whether there's some sort of secret pattern I have to learn. I am going to keep looking at it. Like, that's why I haven't finished my review yet. I need to find out whether I'm just doing something wrong. But it's not intuitive straight away that it should, like it was with, like, say, the Magic Mouse or anything like that, that just does automatically click as you expect it to. But yeah, that aside though, it actually is quite nice. Downsides are as well, apart from the trackpad, is that it's quite heavy, adds a bit of extra weight, but you do get an extra USB charging port, which is nice. And you can't use it in portrait mode. It has to be in landscape. So if you want to use the tablet sort of facing towards you in in portrait mode, it just doesn't work. So that's a sad thing too.
In terms of that weight, I'm reading reports that it's making it heavier than the MacBook Air. Is that true?
I haven't got them side by side, but yeah, I think so. That would make sense. It's quite weighty. It's quite chunky as a result. But yeah, it's weird.
And is it worth the $200?
I mean, that's always the question. Like, is the pencil worth the extra, whatever it is, 150 or something? You know, it's not really. No, because there are versions out there you can get a comparable experience for less money, but for just like the slick, it works, it comes from Apple. For the people that are going to buy that, those are the things to think about. But yeah, you're right. It's like the fact that, you know, the Surface Books and other tablets come with stuff embedded. You know, you get styluses, you get keyboards and stuff as part of packages. But with this, you have to, once you get the iPad, you also have to get the keyboard and you have to get the pencil. And that adds $200-$400 on top. And it's like, well, these are the things that really make it a pro and elevate it way past just the normal iPad. So, yeah, is it worth the money? I don't think any accessories from Apple are really worth the money. But if you like them, then they are there as an option.
Or you could just get a MacBook Air.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I do. It is a good tablet. That's the thing. Like, you know, using it around, I'm quite sad that you can't use it in portrait mode.
Yeah, I was wondering if you think it will win Hinge of the Year at our awards later on. Is the Hinge that exciting, do you think?
Are we going to have Hinge of the Year? I mean, I'm up for it if we
I think it's a good new category to go for, I think.
Now I'm trying to think of other hinges. I mean, like, I feel like we should expand that out to lots of things. Mm. Like the hinges on the Motorola Razr, that's pretty good, apparently. I don't know, I've got a really good kitchen door.
Well, we've got three things already there. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So, I mean, of those three, it's in second place. I mean, my kitchen door is genuinely quite, it's like, it makes like a whoo sound, which I quite enjoy.
Oh my God!
Anyway, enough of that. I feel like we've spent enough time in the labs. The air in here is too rarefied. We should move on. So should we take another break, guys, and come back when we're refreshed?
Yes.
So, as you know, Noise Cancelling Podcast is often helped by our lovely sponsors. And this week, we are helped by none other than ExpressVPN, which is TechRadar's number one VPN. And I think right now, it's actually being stuck at home so much, you don't think, maybe you don't care as much about internet privacy in your own home compared to maybe you do at work. You'll put on incognito mode in a browser and you think, you know what, that'll do it. No one can see what I'm doing, right? Well, that's actually where you're wrong. Because even in incognito mode, your online activity can be traced, your ISPs can see what you're doing. And even if you clear your browsing history, all that kind of stuff, they can still see every single website that you've ever visited. Cherie, I mean, is that something that you should worry about, or is that your clean as a whistle anyway?
I plead the fifth. Either way, VPNs are always a good thing, just on the strength that not everyone needs to know your browsing history. Not everybody, like, even if it's something that you're looking up an embarrassing health condition, not everyone needs to know that. Like, if, God forbid, if something were to happen to me, I don't want my mother having to go through my digital stuff and find something that might be untoward.
Well, I mean, that's why ExpressVPN is rated so highly for this, because it does things like IP addresses being shared among thousands of users, so everything can't be anonymized. 100% of your data is encrypted with best-in-class encryption, of course. And it allows it to be used on the tablets or smartphones or computers. Basically, every device has got you covered. Just tap one button and you're protected. I mean, I feel like your mother, of all people, needs you to have this, Cherie, right?
I mean, yeah. Yes.
So ExpressVPN is the fastest and most trusted VPN on the market. And if you want to protect your online activity today with the VPN that we trust to secure privacy, then you should visit special links at expressvpn.com/noise and get an extra 3 months free. That's 3 months free on a 1-year package. That's expressvpn.com/noise to learn more and get that little extra freebie. Right, guys, we're back. And it's time for, ironically, the most popular part of the show. It's Unpopular Opinions. Cherie, can you do the thing?
Unpopular opinions, let your hate unfurl. Hate on everything in the God's green earth, including this ugly cyberpunk Xbox. Unpopular opinions.
Kimberly, come on, you're a fan of the podcast.
Oh, no. That's all right. If you guys value your ears, you don't want me to say.
So, Cherie, I feel like you predicated exactly what was going to be going on there. You feel like Cyberpunk has done bad things, right?
I'm excited for Cyberpunk. I am on that hype train, for better or worse. Like, I love all the Witcher series, so I am really, really excited for the game itself. I am not excited for those Xboxes that they are coming out with. I think that they... Xbox makes some beautiful, they have in the past made some beautiful, beautiful limited edition chassis. This is not one of them. I am not a fan. I think it's ugly, and it makes me sad. It makes me sad to say bad things about Xbox design.
Rewind a little bit, because I feel bad, because I've been stuck in this iPhone review all week. I haven't looked at the story itself. So what does this look like? Why is it so bad?
It's trying to go after that disjointed, futuristic motif that Cyberpunk is rocking, and it's just not doing it for me. Like, the controller, I was like, yeah, I'm on board with the controller, but to see, like, a whole Xbox skinned out like that, it's just not doing it for me.
It looks like someone took, like, a bunch of old, banged up taxi cab parts and just welded it together and was like, voila!
Yeah. It's kind of like when I see, like, Star Wars Rebel decals and you see all the scuffed up stuff on it, or the Boba Fett look. Like, I'm like, I love the color scheme. I don't want it to look that authentic where it looks like it's beat up.
Yeah.
I just,
but you know what, Shuri? I think that's the point. Like, it's supposed to look like gritty and scratchy.
I know.
It's kind of like people's like choices and love interests. You know, you don't want a clean cut Ivy League smooth looking businessman. You want someone with some scars. Maybe they've lived a rough life a little bit. You know, it's a little bit more endearing and admirable. You know, they're uglier, but I mean, it's more interesting.
I mean, I love a man with a beard. I love a little scruff, but I don't want you to be disfigured.
Fair enough.
But Kimberly says that's endearing. It's fine.
No, it is not. Like, that starts to fall into the realm of, oh, he has a good personality.
I feel like this console looks more like a Walkman, like a really old Walkman from the olden days. Ooh. Like the yellow, like, you know, you saw people like rollerblading down California with it right down the side. Like, not that I ever saw that, but still, in what I've seen from videos, that's how it looked. It is crazy looking. I don't understand why you do it other than just because you want to be different and get Shuri's hatred on you.
Also, why are we doing this when this is going to be the last Xbox One X that we like? What, like, it's a money, who's buying this? Because they're not doing it for the Series X, as far as I know. They're doing it for the Xbox One. Who's going to buy this when this is supposed to launch around the same time as the X series? Who?
I mean, you're right, it could be an easy grab for money, but also surely it's one of those things that will come down in value, or it will come down in cost and price, and it will be sort of the things people might go for when it's a little bit more budget. Yeah, and the other side of things, we've got a couple of things that people have chucked into the mix. Gaming services getting hacked. Is that a real problem, right? Or not?
So, basically, Nintendo Switch users are getting little notifications that people are accessing their accounts. Fortnite is having the same issues. And at this point, I'm just like, put two-factor authentication on your stuff, folks. Like, it happened to me once with my Sony account, and I literally had to call Sony and fight to get my account back. After that, never again. Everything, and I mean everything, my Google accounts, my Steam account, everything has a two-factor authentication on it, no matter what. I don't care what it is. Yes, it is absolutely annoying to have to go to an email or go to a phone or wherever I have it stored to access whatever I'm trying to access, but I better safe than sorry. Like, I just don't get it in this day and age. Like, we have so many people just mining for data. Like, don't just leave your data vulnerable. It's just a pet peeve of mine. Like, two-factor is so easy,
Mark,
to do.
You look like somebody who's quite willing to let people have your details. Is that right?
I don't know what you mean by that, Gareth. But
you seem hackable.
Yeah, well, you're actually right. Yeah, because I had my Netflix hacked at the very start of the lockdown, which is the worst possible timing. Just as I was, you know, just at home for 12 hours a day. But so I agree. Yeah, two-factor is essential. Yeah, and quite easy to do.
And when you say hack, do you just mean that somebody else had your login and you just left it with somebody?
No, I actually found it on I found it on a forum. Someone had posted my login on a hacking forum.
Oh, wow!
which is quite impressive.
Was it just yours?
No, it was me and, you know, 50 other lucky people.
Yeah. What the hell?
So, yeah, so I quickly upped the security on that, but yeah.
Yeah, I also had my Netflix hacked, and it was someone from the UK, actually, because I found out that the actual number, like, I saw the bill, and they got the most premium version for, like, 15, ooh, 16 pounds. And it's my fault because my security practices are horrible. I'm using the same password for all of my accounts.
Don't tell
people.
So that
person probably, you know, found my password in the dark web somewhere and probably did some sort of password, you know, running it through a whole bunch of platforms. And they probably saw a hit with Netflix and I got my Netflix account hacked. So that sucked. But yeah, you're right. I mean, I need to start doing two-factor authentication, and I definitely need to start using different passwords for all my accounts.
Yes.
But it's
you
just
do.
Annoying because it's inconvenient.
You're like the opposite of Cherie. Cherie's like, no, you must block it down everywhere. Get a man to come around and just to shout at you every time you put your password in. But you're like, ah, whatever. I'll just put it in. It's just 1, 2, 3, Kim. It's fine. Everyone, go.
Like, once was enough. Like literally, I had to fight to get my PlayStation account back. And I fought for it because, like, I've had it since forever. And I'm like, you're like, someone literally tried to steal a piece of my game. Like my gamer tag goes with that. Like, no. So one time was enough. Never again.
Well, I feel like actually the hate has unfurled today. That's nice. Usually we're sort of like, we end up feeling quite nice about everything and we come to a good resolution. But this time, no. Mark hasn't got Netflix. Kimberly's lost her Netflix. Cherie has fought Sony for some other reason. I feel like that's a good point to end, right? So thank you very much for both Mark and Kimberly for making your podcast debuts, and especially for Kimberly for having listened to all of them and subjecting herself to that. I mean, some of them are special. Mark, if you come on again, I want you to do your homework and just revise the whole lot, please. Kimberly set the bar quite high now. So, but no, thank you very much for both of you. Mark, have you had a good day today?
Very nice, thank you. Yes, very good.
I was like finishing it off like a game show host. Like, you've had a lovely day, yeah. Kimberly, thank you for listening to us Brits and for evening out the score.
Yeah, no worries. It was fun making a fool of myself today.
Oh, of course. And
no, never. Never
at all. Do you want to give us your details about, not your passwords ideally, but where people can reach you if they want to tweet, watch your tweets or read you more on Laptop Mag?
Yeah, you can find me at Laptop Mag. I write a whole bunch of articles, tech news and reviews. And if you want to find me on Twitter, I haven't changed my Twitter tag in like years, but it's Sweetened Cafe. SweetendCafe.
Sweetened, got it. Okay. Mark, do you use the Twitter in the same fun way? Or is you're going to be like, Mark Wilson?
No. Not far off. Yeah, my Twitter is Marky D. Wilson. Quite literal. But and the password is gadgets. Anyone wants to hack me.
Throw them off the scent, it's nice. And Cherie, you know what you're going to do.
Yes, I do. Follow us on Laptop Mag, like read Laptop Mag, watch our videos, go to our YouTube, go to our Instagram, go to like TikTok. Maybe we'll do a TikTok. I don't know. Who knows? But also follow me on Twitter at MissSmith11. That is M-I-S-S Smith11. And, you know, I'm going to turn it on over to Super Beeve.
That's me, Super Beeve on Twitter. It's No Sweetened Cafe. Yeah, that is the name. The name I went with 12 years ago, 10 years ago, whatever it was, and it's still there. Before you go to Laptop Mag, please go to Tech Radar. That is the reason that I've been told I have to do this podcast. Jokes, I love it. But we do also have reviews, features, videos, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, all the stuff. So please find us on that. We are just Tech Radar. And it just leaves me to say thank you everyone for listening. Please give us a good rating if you like this on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your pods. And of course, that noise cancelling is part of the Audio Boom Originals Network. There are loads of other lovely podcasts you can listen to there. Please do check them out. Thank you very much, guys, and hopefully speak to you again soon. Bye now.
Bye.
Bye.